Good evening, folks. My gosh, this is Carolyn Evers. And guess who I brought with me today?
Hi everyone, this is Richard. I know it's unusual for me to be here, but I thought on this occasion I'd just join Carolyn and see what we could do. So here I am.
Indeed. Well, I think we're going to have an interesting show today. What do you think, Richard? Do you think the folks will be interested in our little show today?
I think so. I know I'm going to be interested in it. I'm not sure where this is going yet, so it's going to be most entertaining.
Yeah, he doesn't know where it's going to go, but I do. Anyway, I was thinking of topics. You know, we've had so many really interesting people on the show that we have interviewed by going to the other side and you might say receiving their messages, their information. And I have to say, when I look back over the really incredible people who have been with us, it surely has been exciting. Now, today we're going to take a little different approach. We're going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, and that's the Akashic Records. We're going to talk about the different kinds of Akashic Records, where they're located, how they're read, and some interesting information that Richard and I have come by through the Akashic Records. And some lucky person out there is going to call us with a question, and we're going to do some reading for them. Sound exciting to you, Richard?
Sure does.
Now, before I get into, you might say, my little side of it, I'm going to ask you a question, Richard. You think you're going to be
Yes.
you think you're going to be over there twiddling your thumbs with
Probably am.
nothing to do. No, you're not.
Think I'm going to answer your questions, do you? Huh.
Indeed.
We'll see.
We've had some remarkable things that we have learned from the Akashic Records, just from the top of your head. What would you say is one of the most interesting pieces of information that you've come across?
Well, I'm not sure, really. The Akashic Records is really an interesting subject because lots of people kind of think that the Akashic Records are just the records of the journey of individual souls. But actually, there's a lot more there than just the journeys of the souls, if you will. There's really the entire unfolding of all that happens within creation, if you will. And so, man, I don't know how to answer your question. I don't know where to go with it. There's so many things that we have that have kind of unfolded from various sources for us as we've gone turning the stones over. I mean, just beginning to understand some of the relationships that exist between various beings, the history of creation, the broader context within which creation sits, and so on. It's amazing the material that's come forth.
Well, you know the story, Richard, as to how the seraphim were created, the cherubim. I'm going to stop right there because you know an awful lot about the cherubim. You work with them quite a bit. And so,
Indeed, I do.
yeah, you do. So I want you, from your own heart, to discuss a little bit about the cherubim and how they play a role in the Akashic Records.
Yeah, it's interesting as you look at creation because essentially you have, in a way, the beginning of creation, if you will, if you look at it from the perspective of all there is in the cosmos and so on. I mean, his first creation, if you will, was Mother God. So you have this feminine aspect. But then really to in a sense, create some balance to allow the expression of all there is out into vibration, because that's really what creation is. It's all vibration. There was a requirement, if you will, to provide a balance. And so, in a sense, that's what the seraphim do. They really surround all there is and just exist in that incredible, intense love experience that exists in the center of the cosmos, and so they simply remain there reflecting love back to all there is. And unsurprisingly, they don't have much desire to do much else other than that for the most part. And so there is that balance, if you will, that's created through the existence of the seraphim in the center of the cosmos. And then, if you like, the next thing that was put in place was the record keeping and information tracking and shipping system called the cherubim. And so the cherubim, as many of you will know, are the masters of vibration. And so they're both keeping those records. They're responsible for the Akashic records, if you will, and also shepherding the information around the cosmos in and out, and, you know, vibration in general around the cosmos. And so they, if you like, they're the record keeping and information flow system of the cosmos, which was put in place before creation really began. And you can understand why that makes sense. There's no point starting something if you don't know what's going on with it. So that's really the role of the cherubim, in essence. And they are, you know, the very early aspect of creation. And that's essentially their role, to keep track of all that's going on, the history of all souls and all activity in the cosmos. And not only that, managing the, if you like, the internet system that flows the information around the cosmos. That's their role.
So in a sense,
the Akashic records are implicitly connected to the cherubim.
Thank you. I like that. Has a nice ring to it. Well, when I see a record, an individual record, and this would be the records that the cherubim are keeping, and they are very close to Source, Prime Creator in the center of the cosmos, I see it as a book. Now, it's not really a book, but it's shown to me as a book because I'm human and it gives me some sort of context to understand what I'm looking at. And they have different covers, and each one of color and arrangement that is on the cover tells me how that particular soul was created. In other words, there was sound, color. The sound is the beautiful music of the spheres. And all of the elements that went into making that soul is incorporated in the color of the cover. And when I see a cherubim's record, it is this most magnificent color of very similar to an aquamarine, with a beautiful gold edging around the book, so to speak. And depending on what that cherubim has done, there will be some identity on the cover, such as an emblem of some sort. And we know when Source, or all there is, Prime Creator, calls for a particular record, as they are prone to do sometimes, they wish to review a record. Everything that that individual soul has ever experienced, they find it in that record. And there will be some mark placed upon that record that Source has examined the record, which is quite interesting. So it is the creators of all imprint upon that record, which is, I find, very fascinating when I see a record. And when we look at the record from that perspective, we are able to open up any aspect of that particular individual's experience. And so it is their experiences encoded in vibration. Now, each soul, while they're on Earth, has the right and really the ability, if they work at it, to read their own records. In other words, that record that is held within their physical body, it is their right. And once a person crosses over, you might say, using the vernacular, dies, passes over, all of those records then go into that central registry. Then there are records all along the way, so to speak. There's earth records. And when I look at an earth record, it's as if I am going inside of a cave, inside the earth itself. I'm looking at this. Oh, Richard, you're going to love this, because as I'm envisioning the cave where I usually go to read earth records, guess who might be there?
Well, someone starting with the name of G?
G?
Yeah, Gaia, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. And she has a message for our listeners, and she wants to give it to you. You're just going to twiddle your thumb.
Well, I'm trying. what's Gaia want to say? And she's here, and she is saying, "My dear friends, it is a wondrous time that you find yourselves in, and humanity, for the most part, has forgotten the kind of information that Carolyn is currently sharing with you all. And yet this information has been there all along. And indeed, so much more information is available for so many to be able to access and to use for their own understanding and for their own journey, if they but understand how to do this. And so this session is opening a door for so many of you that by perhaps working a little more closely with Carolyn and Richard, you might learn how to open some of these doors for yourselves. Over time, all of you will, to varying degrees, remember how to do this and reawaken these skills. So I come forth to thank Carolyn for initiating this understanding and to ask that she might look a little more deeply into that cave that she has in her awareness, because there are some little tidbits I have left there, some secrets for her to bring forth for you all. So you might pass the baton back to Carolyn if you wish. Well, thank you, Gaia. I'm very willing to do that.
So it sounds like Gaia wants me to go inside the cave and give some messages about Earth itself. Is that what she had in mind, Richard?
Sounded like that to me. Hmm.
Is she acknowledging to you that that's what she wants?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'd like this to be somewhat of a learning experience for everyone also. And I'm going, as I describe this, I would like for each of you to follow my words, because words, as you know, have vibration, and from that vibration we might pick up energies, we might pick up knowledge, we might pick up in that knowledge a meaning that is specific for us. So as I describe this, I would like for you who are listening, who are interested in this process, to place this in your imagination. Just imagine it. And as you imagine this, you might feel in your heart a sense of where we're going with this, and you might even hear what is written, or you might feel it, you might see it, because each one of us experience information a little differently. So, I'm thinking of Alice in Wonderland. If you recall that, she jumped down the rabbit hole. So you might, in a sense, feel like we're doing the same thing.
Pretty close.
Indeed.
Is the white rabbit waiting for you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because when I go into the earth and I see Gaia, very often she holds a white bunny for me. I just love it. And she hands it to me.
Does she call you Alice while you're there, or?
No. Sort of like Alice in Wonderland, isn't it? So, see yourself in front of the cave. It's a relatively large cave, as caves go. You don't have to squeeze your way in. You kind of can just stand full body and walk in. And I find this very interesting because as I do that, I really haven't noticed this before because I'm taking time standing at the entranceway, but encoded in that wall inside the cave and around the opening is written messages. It's not exactly looking like hieroglyphics, but it looks more like some of the ancient Hebrew markings. It's not exactly chiseled in the wall, but it is imprinted in the wall. It is as if a force has placed this wording on the wall. And what I hear guys saying, it's not so much the wording on the wall that's important for us to see. We'll open that information up another time, but she is directing me to go deeper so that all of you can follow me into the cave. So hang on to my shirt tails. And the cave has rather a steep opening as it goes deeper and deeper and deeper into the cave. And Gaia is suggesting that I follow that cave and go right down to the very center of the earth. And Richard, I know that you know this. What's in the center of the earth?
A lemon? No, a crystal.
A lemon. Yeah. The center of the earth is crystalline in nature. And as I am watching it, it is, in this particular instance, in the shape of a Merkaba. And I see the Merkaba spinning. And what Gaia is asking each of you, if you cannot see the Merkaba, sense it. Sense it. Imagine it. Draw it in your mind, in your heart. See the Merkaba in the center of the cosmos. And understand that each and every one of you are connected to this Merkaba that spins. It is what centers you here on this planet. And if we had followed this line in your physical body, you would have come through the higher line, and that higher line would have gone all the way up to all there is, source. So we're being shown is that because we have a soul and all there is created this soul, there is that thread that goes back to all there is. These particles belong to all there is. All there is has fashioned them, and it forms our soul, and we have incarnated with that soul, or at least a part of the soul. And so there is this line that actually runs from all there is, in the center of the cosmos, prime creator, and that energetic line comes down through comes through the crown, through the chakras, down to the chakra beneath our feet, and it runs down into the core of the earth. And Gaia energetically supports this. And so what she is saying is that this would be true on any planetary system where there is a physical body, where it is to be anchored in physicality. And you might say that empress, that queen, that goddess that we call Gaia would be represented on each one of those planets. And so at one end, there is this end of this mystical line supported in vibration, of course, but with the tones and the energy and the physicality of the electromagnetic field attaching us to the core of the Earth and making its, it has made its way down from Prime Creator in the center of the cosmos. And the reason that Gaia wants us to become aware of this is that it is a good idea to strengthen this. Well, she's using the word cord. Strengthen this cord. In other words, the Earth will be going through some very traumatic times soon. And the stronger that cord is from the creative process in the center of the cosmos down to the core of the planetary, this planetary system, and you might say it's like having our feet washed in energy. Make that connection as strong as possible. It will give you balance. It will also help you to increase your intuition that this is very important to be grounded. The more one is grounded, the stronger one becomes in their intuitive faculties. That we can, one of the ways that we can increase our intuition is by keeping ourselves grounded. I know you're going to have something to say about that, Richard, because you're one who does believe in grounding. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, no, I. Well, yes, maybe. you know, it is one of the challenges for a lot of people on a spiritual journey, particularly those that are, you know, have strong connections to higher energies, can struggle to be grounded, and so it's very important to be able to. You could say have your head in the clouds, but also your feet firmly on the ground. And so this connection is very important to have in place as you do your spiritual work.
Thank you. What do you say we take a listener's question? Think that might be a good idea?
That'd be fun.
Okay. Wilma from Georgia is on line 3. Hi, Wilma.
Hi, Caroline. Hi, Richard. This is Wilma.
Hi, Wilma.
What's your question, dear?
Well, I would like to know what you can feel of my record.
Well, that's too general a statement, what you can see on your record, because keep in mind that the records that we have hold all of our experiences. So we really do need a question so that you might say we can turn the book to the page that it applies to. So, Wilma, do you have something in your mind that would form a question that you might want an answer to?
All right. Let's say, like, in this current journey, what is my main thing?
Now, are you talking about mission?
Yes.
Okay. And is this, you might say, a burning desire to understand this?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you come along with me, Wilma? Let me tell you something that's really interesting. Before we come to Earth, we plan, you might say, we're a part of our soul and we plan the objective that we're going to follow while we're on Earth. And we usually have a soul family that we will take this question to. In other words, who in our soul family wants to come with me and explore this particular issue? And you all work together. In other words, there's going to be some people who will come with you because they wish to heal particular issues. You know, all families, it seems, has somebody that needs a healing, that people can help in the family. And there are some in the family that might not get along with one another, so there's challenges there to overcome. So you have this little group. You all have decided to come to Earth in this particular lifetime and work on something. And each soul usually chooses what they are going to do in that lifetime. And when they finally make this decision, they go before what I call the board. It's a group of very wise souls who listen to the person's objectives, and then you might say give some input as to what some of the challenges will be so that the soul can be more fortified with what they intend to do. So I'm trying to help you with something, Wilma, and it's not because I intend to hold back any information from you, but I want you to work on something that perhaps you can start finding some of your own answers to your own questions. I want you to imagine standing in front of what looks like a long table that you might see in a corporation where the CEO and some of the other corporate hierarchy, that structure, all gather together and discuss certain issues. And there you are, standing in front of them with all these people who are coming to Earth or who plan to come to Earth with you and work on your mission. And I want you in your imagination to just imagine standing in front of the board. Can you do that?
Yes.
Yes. Now, just imagine that you have presented all of that information to the board members. You're planning. And there are your friends standing next to you, your soul family. They're all going to come with you. You're all going to gather here. And when you discuss what you are planning on this particular incarnation, see yourself standing in front of the board discussing this. What is the first thought that comes into mind that you are presenting to the board that you are going to do in this lifetime? The very first thought, what is it?
Heal.
Indeed, heal. Do you work with healing energies presently?
I have done some, but I don't do it, actively.
You don't work at it actively?
No,
I will tell you this.
Like I can.
Wilma, when your soul was created, I'm going back to the moment of your creation. There was this incredibly large creation table, and Prime Creator called forth groups of souls along different lights. In other words, sound was very important. Also colors. And the color that souls were called upon is indicative of the things that will be of interest to them. And when your group of souls were called forth, it's so amazing, because one second there was nothing, and the next second there was all of these souls, and I watched with amazement the expressions of these souls who all of a sudden have been called into form. And there you are, I'm watching you, because you were created on this incredibly beautiful emerald light. And it's not like a color that we see emeralds. It is something that is shimmering from inside, this intensely remarkable, beautiful green light. It is the sign of healing. You are the healer. You have been called forth to heal. Now, there are many healers. There are healers who work with the physical, and they might be nurses. And in a sense, some people born on the ray of love, the pink ray, will have some of the yellow that was called forth in your particular color. And that is this most incredibly gorgeous ray of golden light. So you have this golden light mixed in with the green light, and it is the golden light that says that you are the healer of the spiritual realm. So you're not necessarily working, though you might at some time have gained experience working with people on healing of the physical, but your healing is of a very special nature. You are being called to heal that spiritual longing that individual souls have for Prime Creator. They haven't awakened to that yet. And that is the nature of how you were called into being. And you can stray from that. You can do other things, Wilma, but if you work with the healing, helping people to understand who they are and what they are to do, you will find great satisfaction in that. And you have been called forth at this particular time because you are to play a role in the information of ascension. Does that topic interest you, Wilma?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Can you see yourself in front of the board discussing that, that you will come to Earth and you will play a role in a most exciting time where souls will be awakening to the possibilities of this incredibly, remarkably jump in spiritual accomplishment? You don't remember that, do you?
But I feel excited.
Indeed, this is what you're called to do. And one of the things that you can do to help you become more aware of this and find a path, because I have this sense that you haven't awakened yet to your role, have you?
Not completely. I do all I can. And
what do you do, Wilma? Tell me what you do so far.
On those on the spiritual side?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I try to stay informed of everything that I will make me grow. And as I encounter other people in my line of work, if I can just drop a little line that kind of awakens them, I do that.
What's your line of work?
I work as an interpreter and translator.
Ah, that's exciting. What language do you work with?
Spanish.
Ah, uh-huh. Are you Spanish?
Yes, I'm from Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm the one that translates all your messages.
How beautiful. And so in a sense, you are passing along some of that healing energy in all the words that you translate, aren't you?
Yes, I feel like that's something, it's the way I can have it open for the world, for those mm-hmm. that are interested and that speak Spanish to get the message.
That's beautiful, because neither Richard nor I speak Spanish, and we wouldn't be able to do any of that to share with our Spanish-speaking friends. So, Richard, do you have something that you wish to say to Wilma? Oh, on my screen it says Wilma. Okay, sorry, Wilma.
It's Wilma, yeah. Hello.
Excuse me, I've got myself cut off here. That might work better.
I'm muted, so, Ian.
So, yeah, Wilma, I worked that it was you along the way, because the message we got on the screen was it was Wilma. And so, Wilma, I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for all the work that you do for our Spanish-speaking friends. Wilma has been producing a Spanish subtitled version of all of our YouTube messages for and putting them up on the net, and she's just been working through that. She's done an incredible job, so I thank you for that, Wilma. It's beautiful.
You're welcome. My pleasure. I feel that's the way that I can help humanity.
And you'll do a lot more before we're done, I anticipate.
I anticipate that too, Wilma. I think you need to hold on to your seat, darling. You're going to be whizzing along.
I'm ready. It's just
I think you are, dear. Thank you, love. Yes. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Wilma.
And so the, let's say, you know, it's 9:40 already. I'm just amazed how the time has sped by. Let's take another caller. Thelma from, Nevada is online too. Thelma.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard. My two favorite people.
Oh, bless you. What's your question?
I've got a real quick question for you. I'd like to know what gifts I had in previous lives, and will they ever work for me again in this life?
Well, let me say a general statement. The answer is always yes, because whatever we have done in the past, it's never lost. We might forget it for a while, but it's there. Are you remembering some of your gifts in the past that you asked this question?
No, I don't remember anything. I just feel like I don't have any gifts, and I'm curious to find out what I might have had.
Oh, my dear, you don't have any gifts. Oh, my goodness. There's nobody that has no gifts. Come on.
Besides healing, I do practice that a
healing.
Lot.
Oh, by the way, I do some healing on the side. Tell me about your healing, Thelma. Tell us about your healing.
Well, I've always felt I had something in my hands, and when my children were small, I would practice on them. Mm-hmm. And I do healing in our church.
What kind of healing?
I send healing to people when they ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I find a lot of rewards doing it. I love it.
That's beautiful.
But I was thinking there must be some other things. If I've lived many, many lifetimes, surely I must have had other talents or gifts or something that would be.
You have, my darling. There's images coming in very strongly about from your past, and I want you to follow this because I see you in the woods in the evening in a full moon, and you are barefoot upon the forest floor, and you are dressed in this very simple but beautiful white gown, kind of gauze-like. It's sheer, and it's luminescent as the moon shines on it, and you are there with other friends. And this comes from a very ancient times when you danced with wood nymphs. I want you to understand wood nymphs. In other words, these creatures that lived in the woods, they weren't quite physical in the sense of human, but they did have a body. They were a spirit with a, you might say, a very the particles in their physical body was not real dense. It was very light. And I see you dancing with them. You would be considered a goddess, a goddess of the woods. You helped solidify the particles as Earth was forming in a denser frame, you might say. This would have been after the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs were gone. It was starting a new age. It was a new age where humanity was being prepared to enter upon the earth. And you played a very important role then as you worked with healing and integrating of energies from the cosmos along with energies from the planet itself. How does that feel when I tell you these things?
Wow, it feels like deja vu.
I love it, deja vu.
It gives me goosebumps.
You were a very powerful entity then.
Wow.
Not that you're not powerful now, but powerful in the sense that you understood your gifts, you understood what you were able to work with. And so in a quiet moment, Thelma, when you were able to be alone, to concentrate, I want you to go back to that moment. I want you to see yourself in the woods. I want you to see the wood nymphs, if you can, and dance with her, because she was dancing the dance of vibration. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like that is something that I miss so much, because I came into this life with legs that won't dance. I had polio at a young age.
Ah.
I always wanted to be an ice skater or a dancer, and my body and soul just craves this, and I can't do it. But I will one day soon when the rejuvenation gets here.
I love it. Thelma, you can do this in your mind. You can do this in your meditations. You can do it because you would be playing a role that will help you connect to the physical. You think you can do this. See it in your mind's eye. See you dancing in the woods with the wood nymphs and working with vibration. You think you can do it?
Beautiful, absolutely. It will be a joyous thing.
Beautiful. Good talk to you, Thelma.
Well, holy buckets. I sure never thought of I danced in the woods with the nymphs.
Oh, yes, you did. And do it.
Okay, Carolyn. Thank you and Richard so much.
Blessings to you, dear one. Priscilla from Nevada is on that line one. Priscilla.
Yes, hi. I'm very new at this. In fact, Velma's one of my best friends. I'm so glad to be able to hear her. Yes, I would like to know something about my past lives also.
Well, it's not, you have to have a question, my dear, because you've got so many past lifetimes.
Oh, yes. Well, just even one of them would, you know, something that would help me in this lifetime, because I've had a lot of different things happening, and I can't say that I'm doing really good with them, but, you know, I'm almost 70 years old, and I just lost my husband not too long ago. I'm kind of struggling as far as, Where do I go from here, you know? What's my, and I'm having a hard time, but yet I'm really excited to hear you folks. I'll tell you, I've heard so much about you.
Oh, beautiful. Richard, I have a sense that you can give Priscilla some interesting information about her loss and how to deal with it.
About her loss and how to deal with it?
Well, she lost her husband, and she's having a hard time.
Yes. Priscilla, one of the challenges that's there for everyone who, you know, loses someone in their life, whether it be that they've crossed over as your husband has done, or whether it be that there's a divorce, or maybe it's even just a child that you've been close to who leaves home and, you know, goes off to college or to another country or whatever, there's pain in that separation.
Right.
And, you know, we think it's because we love them, and in part that's true, but there are some other things going on, again, that we've forgotten, and that is that when we have a close connection with someone, when we interact with someone closely over a period of time, what happens is we kind of lay down these energetic threads that connect us to that individual. And then when they cross over or leave, all those energetic threads are pulled apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this emotional pain that's associated with that separation. It's very painful, and we don't understand it. And and it's part of, in a sense, what feeds into the grieving process. But actually, when you understand that there's this energetic connection between us and that other person, then when they leave our lives, we can actually heal those connections and help to relieve the pain. It doesn't mean that we become joyful that they've left us or something. I'm not suggesting that for a moment, but it can help to ease this pain that we all feel in such a separation. You know, even those who might precipitate the break of a relationship very often feel the same thing, and you think, well, how could they? Because, you know, they've actually initiated this thing. They must want it. But they often feel exactly the same pain, and they don't quite understand it. And so what you can do about this is to essentially dissolve those energetic threads that are still connected to you, except the person they were connecting to is gone, so they're kind of hanging out there. Right. And then you can heal the connection points where those energetic threads connected to you. So you want to do this with me now?
Yeah, sure.
So I want you to say after me, I intend that all of those energetic threads,
all those energetic threads
that were connecting between me and my husband, are now removed, dissolved, and transmuted to light.
Are now removed, dissolved,
and transmuted to light. Beautiful. And I further intend that all of the connection points, where those energetic lines connected to me, that all of those points are now healed.
And then all of those points are now healed.
Yes.
Yes.
And so exciting. By stating that intention, this will see those energetic threads healed, Priscilla. And so this will help you greatly in this difficult transition.
Okay, thank you. That's wonderful.
Bless you, Priscilla.
Thank you.
You're welcome, darling. Richard, I can't believe it. It's the end of the show.
That's what happens when you get into the Akashic Records. The time goes in a heartbeat.
Richard, before we go, might you tell people about the journey to the other side?
Well, you know, I think you should tell them about it because...
No, I think you need to do a little work here. You're not doing that to me.
It's not about a bit of work. It's your beautiful work that's in them. Carolyn created this beautiful course, 10-week course, you might call it, called Journey to the Other Side. And it has a tremendous array of information that come forth from not only many of the masters, but also individuals that are perhaps well known on Earth that have come back and shared messages for humanity about the time that we're in and so on. And so she has put this together as a kind of a 10-week course. And it also includes a copy of Conversations with Caesar in hardback form. So it's quite a package. It has a tremendous amount of information in it. And we haven't actually formally announced this in any kind of formal way. So I'll probably be putting an email out in the next week or so, which is talking about this. So you can connect with this tremendous information that Carolyn has brought forth with these exquisite gifts that she has.
Thank you, Richard. Now, that wasn't so hard, was it?
No.
Well, since the show is over, maybe what we need to do is repeat this on another day, giving more information, because we really didn't get into the information in the Akashic Records. I guess an hour is just not enough.
Oh, you could do this day. Well, let's face it, you used to do this every week on your show for who knows how long. So,
indeed. So, Richard, you think you might want to be willing to say goodbye to everyone?
Oh, yeah, okay. I'll say goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone. We love you all. See you next week.